This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Wizards 2-2 against the Raptors this year without John Wall. The series for this season, points scored, 417 to 415. So again, basically even matched without John Wall. Also, the Raptors, that psychological aspect of them having the absolute worst opening game record in the history of the NBA.
That was Chris Miles of NBA TV yesterday right here on Grant and Danny. You can also watch him locally on NBC Sports Washington. You're locked into The Fan. Wizards-Raptors starts tomorrow. There is a feeling in town like the Wiz wanted Toronto.
That they were playing possum on purpose for this all year long or something? I don't know, man.
I don't buy that for the record. I don't really think that's why they're the 8 seed. I think they're the 8 seed because there's seven teams in the East that were better than them this year.
They couldn't be bothered against garbage teams 20 times.
It was strange to me they didn't avoid a game 82 poor starting lineup by asking John Wall to go against the plan they had put in place by saying, hey, it's playoff time. Let's get the 7 seed. Let's get Boston. Let's avoid the Cleveland side of the bracket. But they didn't play that game. But here was Chris Miles on the Wizards, who he believes, and he's around this team, and he knows a lot of these guys well and intimately. He really believes they think not only that they match up well with Toronto, but maybe that they're better than Toronto.
And I think that the Wizards really feel as if they have Toronto Raptors' number. Like, I really do think that they look at Toronto like, huh, we're better than you. We don't care if you're the first seed and we're the 8th seed. We can beat you on your home court. Look, the Raptors have 7 home losses all season. The Wizards gave them one of them without John Wall. They swept them in 2015 when they played. The Wizards are extremely confident playing against them. And I think that that has to factor into the equation.
Chris Miles has heard here on Grant and Danny. What's your reaction to that?
I like Chris Miles a lot. I like Chris Miller a lot. I like all the guys that name Chris that work for NBC Sports Washington. I am baffled by this. I'm very puzzled that this is the explanation. It may just be the, hey, this is what we're left with, so let's go with this.
But you don't disagree with the logic. I get the sense every time I look at the Wizards, and it's one of the reasons that this team annoys me, that they think they're better than they are.
Well, I know that, right. And I feel that in my soul.
I think Miles is correct. I think that when he says the Wizards think they're better than the Raptors, I think he's right.
Well, for that part, yes. But here's what it is. You have to rewind from the ending. And the ending is, we actually wanted to play the Raptors. So that's why you played that garbage against Orlando, who didn't play any of their normal players, including Aaron Gordon, after the first quarter? That's why you lost all these games all season long? It's because you secretly wanted the Raptors? When did you decide you wanted the Raptors? Was it when you played Boston and played one of your better games of the season in the second to last game? Was that when you decided you wanted the Raptors? Was it when you went up to Boston on Christmas Day and had one of your best games of the year? Was it when you beat Golden State that you wanted Toronto? When did you feel like you wanted Toronto, and how committed were you to that plan? Or is this just what you decided in the last week, that we're going to go hard one game, look like we can't be bothered to throw it in the ocean in the last game of the season? Was when you were playing against Atlanta and looked terrible? Were you going, doesn't matter, we're going to get the Raptors? When you had the 5 seed all wrapped up and then you couldn't be bothered against some garbage teams? That's what I don't necessarily understand. The explanation, I guess now that we're here, you know what? We feel pretty good because we can play with the Raptors. I guess I can live with that. I can understand that based on some of the history that Chris has pointed out. And he's right. They beat their brains in, that Paul Pierce-led team, saying, I don't want to go back through customs in 2015. Toronto's different. Some of the core is the same. Majority is. And same with the Wizards. But it seems to be one of those, I'm at the bottom of the pit. You know where I wanted to be? What's the bottom of the pit? I love bottom of pits. Bottom of pit is great. It's not like I wanted to grab a handhold on the way down as I was falling to my certain doom. But now that I'm here at the bottom of the pit, What a great place the bottom of the pit is. Yay, bottom of pits, Bane's prison. To me, it is symptomatic and emblematic of their nonsense. This group, as you pointed out, and it's a much more succinct and correct sentence, they think they're better than they are. You saw the attitude the entire season, whether it's Wolf season or not, the accusation. Cleveland ducked us in the first round last year. Please don't poke the bear that wears 23 and plays in Cleveland and just put 55 on your plate in Capital One Arena.
For the sake of this conversation, let's assume that the guys who know this team better than us are right. Chris Miller, Chris Miles, those guys. And that the Wizards don't worry about the Raptors. They're not scared of Toronto. In other words, Danny and I look at this matchup and we go, you wouldn't have rather faced Boston without its two best players than Toronto? Because their point is, I don't know that the Wizards cared that much. I think they feel like they'll play their game and they'll beat either of those two teams. Do you guys, Wizards fans, DC sports fans, do you guys agree with that? That they are every bit as good as Toronto in a playoff setting when you reset the season now and it's two teams, Wall and Beal versus DeRozan and Lowry, and here we go. Do you think that they're every bit as good as Toronto in a playoff setting? Because here's the thing. The NBA regular season doesn't matter. It just doesn't. Teams don't invest the same energy. Teams take nights off. Teams are different. There is no sport, I won't say that matters less, but I would say that there is no sport that is really less telling to what a team actually is, in my opinion, than the NBA.
We disagree there. And I know what you're getting at, meaning there are more, I'm just going to rest guys. I'm not going to play Tim Duncan.
I think you're disagreeing with 2 + 2 = 4.
But the NBA is the truest regular season. Here's what I mean. There's a reason you don't have many 8-1 upsets. There's a reason that the upsets are very rare. 82 games tells you who the best team is. And occasionally there's a weird circumstance because someone's hurt.
I think roster construction at the beginning of the year tells you who the best teams are. I don't need 82 games to know that the Cavs will be in the Eastern Conference final and the Warriors are playing the Rockets.
Okay.
Literally, the conference finals that I picked at the beginning of the year are probably going to happen, assuming Boston can overcome the Kyrie Irving injury. Now, obviously, I didn't anticipate he wouldn't be available.
No, of course, but things happen.
I don't think 82 games had anything to do with that. Sometimes they can actually be misleading. Cleveland is a lot better than its win total. Golden State didn't care in the last week or so of the season.
And for other parts, too, yeah. Well, they were hurt, yeah.
They just didn't invest themselves. There's no other sport where that happens to the extent that it does in the NBA. Also in the NBA, you can be up and down 20 in a game and it means nothing. It means nothing because you can just turn it on and turn it off. That's what teams do. They style and they profile. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're down 17. Let's play hard for 11 minutes and get back into this thing. The regular season of the NBA it's tough sometimes for me. I enjoy the sport. I watch the Wizards. I watch great Western Conference games, but it can be really, really hard for that reason. But I guess my point is when I look at this matchup, in the past, the Wizards shouldn't have beaten the Toronto team that they did as easily as they did with that sweep, based on what we saw in the regular year. We found out we're better than they played in the regular season. You see this routinely in the playoffs with this team. They gave Boston last year 7 games, all it could handle. The first round against Atlanta. Do you think they can just flip the switch that they think they possess, I guess, is the question, at 800-636-1067? Here's one more thing on the Raptors I want to bounce off you. I know I'm the ringleader of the Toronto is not who everyone thinks they are club. We've debated them all season long.
I know.
I don't really buy what is sold. I think they're good. I think they'll beat the Wizards in 6 games. I don't see any chance where they could beat Cleveland in round 2. But this was funny. I was talking to Chase Hughes about this yesterday, who covers the Wiz for NBC Sports Washington. And he mentioned this, and it's a good point, and I'd kind of forgotten it. He's like, everyone always talks about the Raptors like they're just a team that gets swept in round 1 or gets knocked out right away.
They've been to a conference final.
They were in the conference final in 15-16.
Yeah.
If you look at their playoff history, it's obviously not good, but they're not the Capitals per se. They got knocked out in round 1 in 13-14. They got knocked out in round 1 in 14-15. The third of this 4-year stretch, they got to the conference final, mm-hmm. and then last year they got to round 2.
Because what's never matched up, and they are Capitals-esque in the sense that they're always 50-plus wins. The Wizards haven't won 50 games in my lifetime.
Yeah, they're a better regular season team than playoff team.
The Raptors always win 50 games, and when they don't, it's 49. And they've been right there in the 1, 2, or 3 seed every single damn year.
But why isn't that year where they got to the conference final? Remember, they blew out Cleveland twice in that series. I think it went 6 games. They got blown out a few times as well. But it was a 7-game series, round 1, they beat Indiana. Yeah. 7-game series, Miami, better Miami team than now. They got past the Heat. And then it was a six-game series against the Cavs. I wonder why that gets forgotten a little bit. It's been 3 years since they got knocked out, surprisingly, in the first round. It's not like that is their every year stapled move.
No, I agree with you. And it's because the Lowry-DeRozan thing has been there long enough and people just have kind of the womp-womp to it. It's the underachieving. Again, it mirrors Ovi-Backstrom, you know, that pairing where it's, okay, they're going to go out again because everybody knows they're not going to beat Cleveland. They're not going to beat whoever LeBron's playing for, be it Miami, be it Cleveland, et cetera. But you're right. It's a bit unfair. Is what I would say. And again, this is the best group they've had. The 59 wins points to that. I know the East is different, but they're deeper than they've been. They could play a bunch of different ways. Valanciunas is still a low down low. They've got these just an army of athletic wings. Van Fleet's the best backup point guard they've had. Lowry's morphed his game a little bit. The ball doesn't just stick in his hand. He doesn't dribble for 28 seconds in a row anymore. They are a better team. They're very well coached. Again, they're going to lose to Cleveland in round two because Cleveland's got LeBron James who can flip the switch. There's your flip switcher. Switch flipper? Flipper flop?
Switch flipper.
Switch flipper. That's hard to say. That's the best player on the planet, and he can do it, and he's going to do it. Toronto's going to lose to Cleveland, but I think Toronto's going to beat the Wizards' brains in. They're going to be careful. They need to be careful what they wish for. I really
Our
do.
Buddy Gilo's huge Wizards mark on Twitter says, this series is more even than people think. Wiz and Raptors have the same record against 500-plus teams. The Raptors just handled their business against the NBA's trash. It's completely correct. And it's the point I've been making. I really do think this will be a good series. A lot of NBA guys, Dar watches a lot of basketball. Guys I talked to in the last couple of days, this is the worst series. I completely disagree.
I think it'll be competitive.
Good games. I think if you told me right now the Wizards are going to eliminate the Raptors, it wouldn't shock me. It surprised me. I'm picking Toronto in six. It would not shock me at all. I think it will be a good series because they do play better in the playoffs than they do in the regular season.
Even those Randy Whitman teams then.
Let's take your calls at 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. You heard what Chris Miles said. He thinks the Wiz wanted the Raptors. They like playing the Raptors. They're confident about their chances. What about you? Do you feel the same way? Do you expect them to be able to elevate their performance again this year like they have in postseason years past? Brent and Danny on the Fan.
And I think that the Wizards really feel as if they have Toronto Raptors' number. Like, I really do think that they look at Toronto like, huh, we're better than you. We don't care if you're the first seed and we're the eighth seed. We can beat you on your home court. Look, the Raptors have seven home losses all season. The Wizards gave them one of them without John Wall. They swept them in 2015 when they played. The Wizards are extremely confident playing against them. And I think that that has to factor into the equation.
Our guy Chris Miles yesterday, Grant and Danny welcoming you back. The Wiz wanted the Raptors. They got the Raptors. Are they going to regret it? That's the question. 800-636-1067. Do you expect them to elevate their play in the postseason like they typically do? They're not as healthy as they generally have been.
I don't know Otto's deal. John Wall, of course, nursing his way back.
Both are banged up. And Bradley Beal played a ton of minutes. First 82-game season, they ran him into the ground a little bit. He played almost 40 minutes the other night in that loss to the Magic, missing 11 of 15 shots. You look at the end of the season, not shooting quite as well, looked fatigued, probably because he was fatigued.
Yeah.
He was playing a lot with John
they
Wall
were
out.
Heavy minutes, man.
Travis is in Maryland, wants to talk Wiz Raptors. What's up, Travis? Travis, you're on the show. Go ahead.
And scene.
Well, this is awkward because he is the only person that called in to talk about the Wizards, so there's no one to pivot to now.
A lot of passion.
So we can continue to talk to ourselves, I
think. A lot of passion. Let's pivot like Ross Geller moving a couch. Anything else?
I'd like to talk about the Sandlot movie that I asked you if we could talk about.
Do that.
And you said, no, we got to talk about
do
the
that.
Wizards.
You do that.
Okay.
Seriously, I'm not mad at you. Do that. Now, just FYI, everybody, never again.
Well, they we'll have. Do it again. That's not true.
I won't do it. I'll sit it
Don't
out.
Don't let Danny's emotions
never again
speak for the show.
The playoff team.
We will talk about them again a little bit later on.
Never
today,
again.
As we always do, because it's a playoff team in D.C., and even though this isn't a great sports town sometimes,
good Lord,
we'll continue to do a great radio show for you because that's what we get paid to do. The Sandlot cast reunited 25 years later and played baseball, Danny. How about that?
I like when this happens.
All the kids that I watched growing up in the Sandlot, I just like seeing what they look like. A couple of these guys, by the way, I don't want to be mean. They are, as the sports junkies would call them, hair things.
When the School of Rock cast got together at some like dumb bar in L.A. and they played all their songs.
Yeah.
I was into that. Like Jack Black was up there going, you know, like doing his bit. Everybody was into it. It was fun. I like when that stuff happens.
Scotty Smalls still looks a lot like Scotty Smalls. If I saw him in a restaurant, I would go, hey, you're the adult version of Scotty Smalls. You still occasionally see the great Hambino, the ginger with the freckles, the big portly kid behind the plate, the catcher. But he's in commercials and bit parts and stuff from time to time. That's about it. Everyone else is fairly unrecognizable. I ask you,
what does
this,
Benny the Jet
though?
Look like?
Benny the Jet
is, he good or bad?
Not pictured here that I see.
Oh no.
Maybe he was too cool for the reunion. I don't know. I don't see him playing ball with the fellas.
I think Benny the Jet is in jail. I'm not kidding.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he was arrested like 3 times.
For what?
I think it was like drug possession something else.
Oh, no. You know what? We talked about that on the show at one point. You're 100% right.
Oh, no.
I got the story right here.
That's bad.
The Sandlot star Mike Vitar, who played Benny the Jet Rodriguez, avoids prison after arrest for assault. This is a story from, let's see, this is 2017. Sandlot star just dodged the pen. Mike Vitar, who starred as Benny the Jet Rodriguez in the beloved baseball family film, avoided prison. 2015 beatdown of a college grad student.
Oh, no.
The actor turned firefighter faced up to 4 years behind bars after being charged with felony assault with a deadly weapon in December 2015, reportedly reached a plea deal. See, I guess he was not available to participate in the reunion, and or maybe he has been extricated from the Sandlot family.
Let me throw my 2 cents in here on this. Not about the arrest, because that's awkward. That stinks.
Yeah.
One of the things, and Chad's talked about this too, like if you get famous for something, this happens a lot to like child actors and whatever else, and people love you for that, and you get so tired of it. I understand that, like when you go to if you're in Star Trek and you go to a Star Trek convention, and nerds are like, "What if that tachyon pulse that would actually reactivate space time?" But the word, like, it can be annoying. It can wear on you. I understand that, right? People loved you for something.
Yeah.
When guys and gals that were in something that people loved. Don't run away from that. And they have a good sense of humor about it. They embrace it. Like, again, I mentioned the School of Rock guys. This thing with the Sandlot, the fact that they're all in it and they're willing to just have fun with it makes me very happy. People loved you for something.
Present to you my 5 favorite kids' sports movies, and then you can tell me what you think of my list or give me yours if you'd like, in honor of the Sandlot's 25-year reunion and these kids getting back together to play baseball. Number 5 on my 5 favorite sports movies list. Oh, this is so hard, by the way. I just wrote down 9, and I'm looking at them. And I'm
so when you say kids' sports movies, it means it's got to be featuring kids?
No, this is more movies from when you were a kid. Okay. Designed for kids, okay? Number 5, I'm going to go with Little Big League. This is a young Bill Haywood who must be allowed to speak his mind. He's the manager of the Minnesota Twins. His grandfather dies. He's the owner of the Twins. He gives Little Billy the team, and Billy hires himself as the manager.
The guy from 30-something is a sweet-swinging left-handed first baseman?
True story, by the way. I once did a 90-minute podcast that aired on national radio on Little Big League. Do you believe that?
I do believe that.
Just
we told
in
it before,
detail
yeah.
on that film. That's number 5. Number 4 for me is Little Giants. These are the
Giants.
Misfits who couldn't make the Pee Wee Dallas Cowboys. Who's going to coach your team? My dad! I love Little Giants. Danny doesn't properly respect Little Giants. He hibernates very calmly on the film. Number 4. Number 3... I will go with Rookie of the Year, Henry Rowengardner, getting the call out of the bullpen and then ultimately taking over as a pitcher who dominated the National League for the Chicago Cubs at 11 or 12 years old.
Underrated part is Gary Busey before I went absolutely crazy. I want to throw a spitball, a slider, and a fastball. I want to throw all the balls.
You don't know his name.
Gary Busey.
No, what's his name in the movie?
Cosmic Couches.
No, Chet Stedman.
Oh, Chet Stedman. That was my favorite role.
Throw him the high, stinky. Cheddar, are you sure that was Gary Busey and it wasn't Nick Nolte?
Dude, it's Gary Busey.
You're pretty sure?
Yeah.
There's a 20% chance it was actually Nick Nolte.
It's Gary Busey in that one. It's okay. Gary Busey, one of the worst throwing motions ever. Underrated bad throwing motion. Nuke Lucius is terrible.
Yes.
In Bull Durham. Gary Busey looks like he's throwing a shot put.
Am I at number 2 yet? Or
you're
am
number 2.
Okay.
This is number 2.
Number 2. I'm going to combine the Mighty Ducks 1 and 2. So D2, the Mighty Ducks, when they go internationally to play in the Junior Olympics, and then the original Mighty Ducks when they were District 5 and Gordon Bombay saves the day as, you know, a drunk lawyer who turns into a leader of young men and women. That would be my number 2 is the Mighty Ducks.
All right.
Classics, which brings me to number 1. You think I'm going to go the Sandlot. I'm not going
to. Doesn't it make your five?
Because I'm a little bit of a hipster.
What are you doing?
I'm going with not Space Jam, which stunk and everyone overrated. I hated that. The only thing I liked about Space Jam, by the way, was the song, I Believe I Can Fly, and like Michael Jordan in his North Carolina shorts and his dad, and that was a cool scene.
So weird that Sean Bradley was one of those five.
Space Jam is like my 63rd favorite sports movie of my kids' time.
Wow.
Sandlot would be sixth. Number one, what am I doing? Tell everyone what I'm doing.
Grant is slowly standing up.
He's making poor life choices.
He's flapping his arms up and down.
Danny, is there an angel that I see in the outfield?
Oh, that's such a terrible choice.
Danny,
Space Jam is 63,
Danny,
but angels in the outfield is number one.
Or am I signaling an angel?
Danny Glover
like
just
I'm Roger
Riggs.
And JP.
Riggs.
Hey, remember when Roger saw those angels?
No.
Him and his dad can reconvene when? When can they do that?
I don't know.
When the angels win the pennant.
Riggs.
Look at me. I'm JP. It could happen.
Riggs.
Look at my arms. What am I doing? You said I'm waving my arms?
You're flapping
Try
your
again.
Arms up and down.
I am what am I signaling?
You're doing the St. Joe's Hawk.
No. What am I signaling?
I have no idea.
What am I trying to tell the manager, George Knox, from above the dugout?
I certainly have no idea what you're doing.
Tell me what I'm signaling.
I don't know. I don't know what to
Stop.
Do.
Is it that Doc Brown is in the outfield?
Yes, it is. It's that an angel is here. We've got angels. I have to tell you what managerial decisions to make based on who's got an angel that day. Is it going to be Tony Danza on the mound? Is it going to be a random outfielder hitting 200? Is he going to get lifted up to make a catch?
How much does Christopher Lloyd do Christopher Lloyd bits in the movie?
The most.
It's 100% Doc Brown.
There is so many bits.
A very scientific weather experiment. Is he doing that bit?
It's not quite Camp Nowhere, but it's pretty bad.
I was going to say it's 67% Back to the Future. It is 33% Camp Nowhere. That's where we are on Christopher Lloyd and Angels in the Outfield.
Christopher
Lloyd. Have you ever seen the movie, by the way?
No, never once.
Oh, man. How much more fun was that than talking Wiz Raptors?
Way more fun. Again, I'm reminding all of you, never again. I'd rather have Grant look like the St. Joe's mascot than do Wizards talking.
I'm getting pummeled for my list right now.
Because it's a bad list. I mean,
it's a very bad list.
It's a bad list. I mean, you a lot. This is a bad list.
My text messages, the wife, a couple of my buddies who have watched these movies with me, I'm getting crushed.
Yeah.
That's an amazing list.
It's a terrible list.
It's amazing how wrong you guys all are. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Dan Colco in the dugout with the Nats every single day on What's Wrong with the Club next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Dan Colco of Masson is going to join us in moments to talk about the Nats, who last evening fell below 500. Only 13 games into their year, they are off to a slow start. They're not playing well. They're not hitting. Last evening, Gio Gonzalez gave up a couple too many big swings. DJ LeMahieu, by the way, homered twice in the game for the Rockies.
He owns the Nationals. That guy kills us.
Bigger issue for me, though, and it's not even close, is that the Mets are 10-1. It's not that the Nats are about 500 because Cleveland is about that in the American League. They might come out of the AL. The Cubs, by the way, one of the best teams in the National League, are essentially the same as the Nats right now. The Dodgers are worse. They can't hit at all. So that's not the issue. The problem is in your division, the Mets are rolling. Let's welcome Dan Colco on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. And Dan, what is your take on 13 games, sub-500 baseball, losses of 7-9, just not clicking yet?
Well, you know, guys, you guys know this as well as I do, that a stretch like this is going to happen, you know, at any point in the season, maybe multiple points in the season, where you go through 13 games and you win six of them. And if it happens in June, nobody bats an eye. So, yeah, it's tough to see this stretch to begin the season when it's really the only sample size that we have to go off of. It's not the best baseball that's being played right now. There's some fundamental mistakes. There's some errors on the base paths defensively. There's a lack of situational hitting. But, you know, you can certainly pull positives from it as well. And again, early on in the season, we're left grasping at this small sample size and trying to pull these grand impressions when in reality, you know, you need a few weeks, a month, 6 weeks to really develop any sense of feel for a team. Not the best start that the Nationals could have asked for, certainly, but we've got a long, long way to go.
No, we certainly do. Less than 10% of the way through the season. But 2-5 on the homestand, 2-7 in their last nine, not scoring even three runs a game here over the last nine as they've gone 2-7. You touched on some of the things. Last night a pop-up falls in. There's been some errors, base running errors, not picking up the third base coach, kind of day one install stuff. In your mind, why is this happening? We're used to pretty hot starts from this club. The last 2 years under Dusty Baker, they had a 6.5 game lead by middle of April. Now it looks like kind of the opposite. They'll be playing catch up a bit.
Yeah, it's hard to say why specifically. I think, you know, if we're going to focus on these mistakes, so to speak, on a case by case basis, there are types of mistakes that a manager can tolerate, right? There's the hustle mistakes, the ones where guys are trying to make something happen and it backfires. Aggressive mistakes, like, say, Trey Turner making a turn around third base when he's looking to score a run on what would have been a flip to the first baseman. He's trying to attack there. He's trying to make something happen. Anthony Rendon as well, when he was picked off, that was a Davey Martinez decision there based on a number of different factors to have Anthony moving on Jerry Blevins' first move. A variety of base running errors that, you know, guys, the Nationals have had guys make outs on the bases where they're looking to try and make something happen. And it's, you maybe press a little bit in that regard, more so than you normally would, when your offense isn't scoring 7-8 runs again. You try and manufacture runs a little bit more than you would otherwise. Then outside of those hustle mistakes, there are, you know, just the flat out errors, the base running mistakes that come from, Bryce Harper not hustling through the first base bag, maybe the way that he would like to, or Davey Martinez would like to. The defensive errors, those are the ones that will frustrate a manager. Why are these mistakes happening? I don't know. And Davey Martinez is, I'm sure, grappling with that thought and that question. The important thing from here is, how do you go about trying to clean it up? And Davey says that he has had conversations with players that, you know, we see him from time to time go up to players in the clubhouse right after a game, and whether he's encouraging them about something or reminding them of something. There are certain ways that every manager has of trying to fix the problems. But, you know, I think this next road trip will be big to see what type of baseball the Nationals are playing. They're playing some teams that were expected to be very successful. The Mets, you know, we didn't think would be this good. The Dodgers, we thought we would be better. The Giants, probably as well. So these are three quality teams that the Nats will be playing, and I think it'll be interesting not just to see the results on this road trip, but also to see what type of baseball they play as they head out west.
Dan Colco, you can hear him weekends now here on 106.7.
Yes.
The Fan, doing a national show first thing. We'll tell you about that when you wake up on the weekends, even when he's on the road before he gets out of here. Trey Turner hitting 200. Ryan Zimmerman's hitting 103. Matt Wieters hitting 111. Much smaller sample because he was on the DL. But who's most problematic there? I mean, Zimmerman's hitting cleanup and hitting 103. I'd love to see Kendrick get the four spot in this lineup until he cools off. But of those guys, what worries you?
I don't know. I think, you know, coming out of spring training when Ryan Zimmerman didn't appear in a big league Grapefruit League game, other than that one where he had two at-bats, the entire time, you were wondering how he was going to come out of the gates. Now, it's important to remember with Ryan that other than last year, he's really never been a quick starter. He's struggled out of the blocks, regardless of how many spring training games in which he's appeared in past years. I think the thing that makes his situation tough is that if he's going to be the guy hitting behind Bryce Harper in that cleanup spot, you're going to need some protection for Bryce when he gets off to a hot start the way that he did. Otherwise, teams will pitch around him almost exclusively, like they kind of have. And then that forces Bryce to maybe get out of his patient mindset a little bit, to start chasing pitches, to start feeling like he needs to produce more, even if he's only getting one pitch to hit in an entire ball game. So I think you really need someone hitting behind Bryce who's going to either make the opposing team pay when they do pitch around Bryce, or to you know, scare them off from taking that tactic. I think Trey Turner's going to hit. I think he's going to be fine. And honestly, I think Ryan Zimmerman's going to turn it around too, just because we've seen it year after year when he has gotten off to a slow start and then has turned things around. But I think if you're constructing a lineup right now, I think, you know, Zim might not be the best guy to hit behind Bryce in this moment because he's gotten off to that slow start.
How worried should we be about the Mets? I wouldn't bat an eye if the Nationals were playing good baseball and were 8-5, but they're not. They're not playing good baseball, and they're, you know, the Mets gained a half game even last night with that hot start. It's because of injury last year that they didn't kind of fulfill their destiny, Dan, of a couple seasons ago. To me, if this group is healthy, they're a threat. This team's for real, I think.
I think the Mets are a good baseball team. Do I think they won't keep up this pace all year. They're not going to finish 161-1.
Sure.
And I also don't think that they're going to by any means run away with this division either because of the way that the Nationals play or because of the way that they're going to play the rest of the way out, to be honest with you. I mean, this rotation is good in New York. Their bullpen looks improved. But, you know, if their lineup was their lineup 5 years ago with these players, you know, Adrian Gonzalez and Todd Frazier, this would be an all-star lineup from top to bottom. They're filled, their lineup is, with guys who are aging. Health could be a concern. Consistent performance could be a concern. I don't think that they are going to be a dominant force for the entire season. Will they contend? Yes. Will they be a team that the Nats need to really battle it out with? Yes. But I don't think that they're an elite National League team right now. They've gotten off to a fantastic start. They're playing really good ball. I don't think that they're going to be a dynamo and a team that is really going to, you know, be up there in the 95-100 win category at the end of the season.
Dan, the weekend looms, which means you've got a show coming up on The Fan. Tell people when they can hear you and what to expect.
It'll be 8 a.m. Saturday mornings, the entire course of the season. So that'll be tomorrow morning for our next one. I'll be in studio and I'm going to have, you know, a full recap of the last week of Nationals baseball. I'm going to sit down with new bench coach Chip Hale today for an interview that will be played tomorrow morning. So we can talk about all things that he's seen out of his Nationals club over the first couple weeks. And I like to take your phone calls as well. So if you're listening tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., feel free to call in and let's talk some ball. I'm looking forward to it.
Love it, buddy. Always appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the show this year. And will you go talk to the guys, get a couple wins this weekend, make me feel better?
Yeah, I'll go motivate them. That's what they need.
Thanks.
They need me telling them
you.
To play
Just
better. I'll get right on that.
You want to see them win so that Danny Ruye, and it's Ruye, not Rauer, Danny Ruye is happy.
Danny Rauer.
Exactly.
Thank you, Dan.
He needs to be
Dan gets it.
Happier.
Dan
There's
gets
Dan
it.
Colco on Grant and Danny. Double play next. Blitz at noon. The Capitals off to a tough start in the playoffs coming your way as well right here on The Fan. Grant and Danny welcoming you back on The Fan. Last night, the Caps dropped game one to the Jackets. Tomorrow, the Wizards play game one with the Raptors. The Nats have a 7:05 first pitch at home against the Rockies tonight. If you're going to the ballpark, if you're one of the first 25,000 in, you're getting a Sean Doolittle bobblehead. I will be there with you getting that bobblehead. Looking forward to the game tonight. Redskins quiet. Couple of weeks from now, the NFL draft. It's a good time to be doing sports talk radio in the nation's capital, the most powerful city in the world. Let's get to our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Danielson.
Grant, it's Friday. This isn't just some regular double play time.
It is.
It's not just some normal double play that we do. We got to do something special for this because it's Friday during the time of the double play. I want to win off the field with you.
Do you? Well, can I do a quick double play first?
Well, thank you, DJ Khaled. Okay, then what happens? Hold on 1 second. There's a sequence to this. Then what? They remain there.
Indeed.
We can do what we want. It's our show. You do a double play.
Bit. I have something Tommy sent me that I want to get to, and then
get
you can win off the field. We
get
can multitask. If you guys want to win off the field with us, you can hit us up at 800-636-1067. Will Ferrell, according to a bunch of outlets, this is written by TMZ here, was rushed to the hospital after his SUV flipped over in a two-car accident. Will Ferrell, riding in an SUV, got flipped over Thursday night. He, along with two others, were rushed to a hospital for treatment. The wreck happened in Orange County on I-5 freeway around 11 p.m. last night.
Jeez.
He was one of three passengers in the chauffeur-driven SUV. Witnesses tell TMZ they got sideswiped by another car. It's unsure at this point and unclear what injuries were suffered by Will Ferrell or anyone else in the car. He was speaking on his phone as firefighters loaded him up on a stretcher to take him to the hospital, one eyewitness said. And the images are of him being very much present and it seems like clear-minded as he's getting into the ambulance, which is a good sign. But you look at the car, it is really scary looking. I mean, you got basically windows all hanging off and
wow.
You got clear view into the car with no glass. The car ended up on its side in the middle of the highway.
But the frame, and I'm not trying to be flippant, but the frame looks like it's intact, which
yes.
is a great sign for safety, if that makes any sense.
I
like, you think
so.
Of that crumpled, totaled thing. It's obviously been
just
through
imagine,
hell.
Imagine, you're flying down the yeah. highway at 65 miles an hour. Next thing you know, you're on your side. You're laid out. The car flipped over, and all the glass that used to be windows is just open air.
It's just gone, yeah.
I fell asleep behind the wheel.
That is petrifying, so... Hopefully everything's good with Will Ferrell. All right, that's the quick double play. Now you get to your winning off the field.
800-636-1067. Got a couple minutes to do that.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, how's it going, Bruce? It's Danny, by the way. I love Chef Jeff's. I took you to Chef Jeff's. More truthfully, you and Allison took me to Chef Jeff's.
You want to do it again?
I'd love to do it again. I love that place. It's awesome.
Chef Jeff's, really good.
They have one at Tyson's. I think there may be one in the Great White North that is Rockville. I'm not even sure, but I know about the one at Tyson's and the one in my neighborhood. I go there all the time. I love it. There are places that do things like Chef Jeff's does that I love. All I want is an acknowledgement that I come in someplace a lot. All I want to do is give you all the money that I have for delicious food. Thank you, Coach. I love doing that. They've got a thing called the Star Rewards Program at Chef Jeff's, right? You build up enough points, you accumulate, you can turn it in for like a free ice cream. You can turn it in for a free cooking class.
Mr. Maui Pineapple Chicken gets his points every time he eats Maui Pineapple Chicken, as an example.
It is an awesome thing. It's just an appreciation, and they do it for their customers. I love it. For some reason, my Star Rewards thing just would not work. There's something about, I don't know whether I signed up wrong. I'd ask every time I go in there, and they would give me the assurance, no, we'll put it on there. And I would check, and there'd be no balance. I've been in there 7 times since I signed up. None of those points ever were accumulated to my account. I don't need anything for free, but if you're going to offer me the thing, I'd like to get the points. I love points.
Do you get appetizers off, or
you
just
can.
The things you were talking about?
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of different offers. You can cash them in, you can hoard them, and like if you get to a certain level.
So
like,
you could go in and just get a free dinner.
Yeah, Chef Jeff will eventually like come to your house and give you a cooking class if you get enough points. If you go in there every day for 10 months, he'll come to your house and
That's
cook
great.
For you. There's a million things. Finally, last night, our server, whose name I have forgotten and I apologize, did some kind of magical thing. I got the points. It's all. I'm not even going to sue for back
all
points.
All your points.
I just want it acknowledged that I came in and I spent the money again with no complaint. I love that place. I love that I got the points. I'm so excited that I got the points. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
Did Bill Rowland go with you to Chef Jeff?
He did.
Did he get his piece of pizza?
Of course he did.
Did he eat all of it?
Ate about half. Did pretty well.
He normally eats about half, based on what I can gather.
He's been a whole pizza guy before there, but right now he's about half.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's pretty
astounding. Did he drop any of his little tiny cars into the glass of water like old Uncle Jeeps taught him to?
No, not this time. However, this time he did go to the bathroom 6 times.
You're kidding
no,
me.
No, 6 times. And it's just constant motion. It's constantly uncomfortable.
That is frustrating.
That's absolutely ludicrous.
Thank you, Coach. It was.
Rich and Olney, how are you winning off the field?
How's it going, guys?
Hey, Rich.
Hey, Bob.
So, we just got some solar panels put on our house, and they gave me a free Nest thermostat. What my wife does not know is I have an app, and I have complete control of that thermostat, whether I'm home or not. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
Very strong. Keep the house cool.
Yeah.
Travis and Olney. We're playing in Olney today. What's
hey.
Up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show.
Thank you.
So last night, was able to get my whole family of 5 into the Nats game for free for Military Appreciation Day. So, therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
Well done.
Yes.
I like that.
Oh, yeah.
Maddie and Stafford, how are you winning off the field?
I dropped my sunglasses, my cheap sunglasses, and the lens went flying out, but I was able to pop it back in.
winning off the field.
The popping back in of the cheapo sunglasses is a great, perfect winning off the field.
You get mileage out of those things. It's just so awesome. You feel like a king.
Can't break them. No matter what happens, they will always work for you. Now, if they were expensive and that lens popped out, you're done.
You probably get really irritated.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. It is time to go blitzing next. Three teams in town you care about. 12-18. You need a DC team to break through. Is it better to be in the position we're in now where we got good teams that just can't win in the playoffs and encounter postseason success? Or would you rather not have the expectation and just not be as good? We'll have that discussion next hour.
Coach, don't interrupt me, please. I got to do a Ted Britt read, okay? I need to do this read about Ted Britt Ford because I love them. I love Ted Britt Ford.
I mean, that'd be fair to say.
Thank you, Coach. You're right. It would be fair because I've been there two different times. I went to Ted Britt Ford in 2016. I think you were still the head coach of the 49ers at that point.
I wouldn't say that.
Maybe you weren't. Maybe it was the year before. Point is, I went to Ted Britt Ford. I got a 2016 Ford Edge, and I loved that car. I loved it. That's the wife's car now. She drives that. Yeah. That's awesome. I know. It's really, really good. Perfect size, midsize SUV. It's good for me and the growing family. It's very comfortable, good gas mileage, et cetera, et cetera. Well, last year, Coach, I go to Ted Britt Ford because I need a new car. And you know what I got? You know what I got? I got a 2017 Ford Fusion. You can get a 2018 Ford Fusion, the consumer, for just $150 a month on a lease deal.
That's absolutely ludicrous.
I know that price is probably too low. I don't know if they know it's a misprint, whatever. Point is, you can drive off the lot for just $150 a month. Or 2018 Ford Escape, lease one for just $199 a month. Or 2018 Ford Explorer, how about you can buy one for $24.5. That is a terrific, terrific deal. I know, I know. It's almost mumble-worthy from Coach Tom Sula. I love that place. Go see my guys at Ted Britt Ford. Fairfax or Shane Kelly, just click away at TedBritt.com. Tell them me and Coach sent you.
I'm mad before you say.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.